This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Nā mai, haere mai, kia ora tanaku, Free FM 89.0, independent community media. I'm Bruce Scott, Mel Driscoll, Dwayne Porter, Trevor. Before 2 o'clock this afternoon, the weather forecast in Hamilton, mostly cloudy, breaking this evening. Westerlies developing this afternoon and evening. Monday, morning low cloud or fog. Southwesterlies developing in the afternoon or evening. Sunset this evening at 7:50pm. It will rise tomorrow morning again at 7:09am. 24 degree high in the city, overnight low of 9, we're 20 degrees in the city. What's on my mind? My opinion, column, comment, history, events, moments, birthdays and deaths. New Zealand Hit Parade. Chartorg.nz, March 8, 1976. World events. What's going on in politics? Gary Schofield. Ports of Call with Dwayne Porter and Trevor's talk before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Well, how bad is the latest poll result for National? 28% with the Taxpayers Union poll. They're normally pretty good in and out of other polls, of course. If there was an election tomorrow, you asked to go to the poll tomorrow, 28%, Christopher Luxon will be lost. He'd be gone. He will lose all his List MPs. So that's the scenario. Chris Luxon will be gone. What's happening with Christopher Luxon? He's dithering over the problems in Iran, whether to support Israel or support Donald Trump, etc., etc. It's the same scenario with Keir Starmer. I've just seen that Donald Trump wants Keir Starmer to help him in his war with Iran. I think between me, you, and the next election, Keir Starmer and Christopher Luxon should run away. Don't give support to an illegal war, as former Prime Minister Alan Clark said, it's an illegal war. Trump didn't have Congress. But coming back to New Zealand politics, he's in the middle of experienced politicians like David Seymour and Winston Peters. So what does Luxon do? He's refused to resign, but I think it'll be his party that say, Chris, your time is up. We're going to find a new leader for the election. Chris Bishop? Willis? Who else is there? Well, there's many who could be leader of the National Party. Upston, of course. And the guy from Pakuranga. So, we'll look over the next few weeks where the Luxon survives. He's a CEO. He's not a politician. He's not a John Key. Watch this space. Day 67, 3:58 to go. March 8, 2026. This day, 2025, Wellington Mayor Tory Whanau attends Wellington's Pride Parade, interrupted by members of Destiny Church.
I am my own special creation. So come.
On this day in 1965, American Marines land in Da Nang, South Vietnam.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew.
What are you looking at?
It was this day in 1999, the death of baseball great Joe DiMaggio. Of course, once married to Marilyn Monroe. Day 2003, singer, actor, businessman Adam Faith dies.
For me, sorrow's heaving around my head. It's been heard and it's been said that you tried to date another guy. Didn't hide, didn't even try. Cheating me with lies again, making me remember.
Day in 2016. Sorry.
My baby, I need you.
It was this day, the death of recording engineer, musician, the man behind the Beatles, producer George Martin.
You're driving me crazy.
Be my girl.
Your kisses just thrill me.
Be my girl.
I want you to love me.
All I need.
Be my girl.
This day in 1966, gangster Reggie Cray walks into a London pub and stabs a rival gangster in the head. This day in 2024, that Radio Hierarchy co-founder David Gapes dies. And this is one of the tracks they used to play on Radio Hierarchy. This is Ray Wolf and the Avengers.
Now it's the
from the Avengers, and it's the same old song. That was a Motown hit. It was at the Four Tops, 10 minutes to 1 at Free FM 89.0. And I'll have bits and pieces of the old radio hierarchy as we celebrate the death, commemorate the death of co-founder David Gapes. It's 10 minutes to 1. Coming up, we'll have the New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, but just a little bit of memories from Radio Hierarchy. Did you grow up with it? Let's try this.
You're in the middle of a twin spin.
Takes you back in time, doesn't it? It's 9 minutes to 1, New Zealand Hit Parade, chart.org.nz, March 8, 1976. Number 1, The Carpenters, Please Mr. Postman. Further down the list, you've got Linda Ronstadt, You're No Good, written by Clint Ballard Jr., 1931-2008. Also recorded by the Swinging Blue Jeans, Betty Everett. And also, it was recorded here in New Zealand. Our highest chart position on the New Zealand chart back in 1976 was number 9. The great Linda Ronstadt, You're No Good.
Feeling better now that we're through. Feeling better cause I'm over you. I learned my lesson and left a scar. Now I see how you really are. You're no good, you're no good, you're no good. We'll be right back.
Free FM 89.0 Independent Community Media. That is You're No Good. That is the one and only Linda Ronstadt. Well, also today we got the we remember George Martin, who died this day in 2016. Pre-Beatles, he was very well-known producer. He produced Ron Goodwin and his orchestra, the Robin Hood song. He produced things for Matt Munro. He did Jerry and the Pacemakers. He even produced the theme to The Archers. But he was also the producer behind a bit of Scottish dance music like this. The late, great Jimmy Shand. Free FM 89.0 independent community media. This is Cosmopolitan News and Views. Barwick Green, the theme to the Archers. Sydney Torch, yes, produced, of course, by George Martin. George Martin, in his lifetime, went to university with a certain Scottish tenor. And he told that particular tenor, stop singing opera, sing popular Scottish songs. Like this one.
The night is falling, hear, hear the pipes are calling, loudly and proudly calling down through the glen. There where the hills are sleeping, now feel the blood a-leaping, high as the spirits of the old Highland men. Calling in gallant fame, Scotland, my mountain name, I may a proud banner's gloriously wave. And off my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave. That beat beneath Scottish skies. Wild are the winds to meet you, staunch are the friends to greet you, kind as the light that shines in fair maiden's eyes. Calling in gallant fame, Scotland, my mountain came, I may a proud banner's gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave. Calling in gallant fame, Scotland my mountain fame, I may a proud banner's gloriously wave. Land of my high endeavor, land of the shining river, land of my heart forever, Scotland the brave.
McKellar didn't actually agree. He did sing all opera songs too, along with his popular Scottish songs from 1959. That is Scotland the Brave here at Free FM 89.0. Welcome to Sunday, joined shortly by Mel Driscoll here on this beautiful day outside. We're going to play a Welsh song very, very shortly for you, so just stand by. But right now we are kind of remembering, today, David Gapes, the co-founder of Radio Hauraki. And right now let's play you a bit from one of their DJs who became well known on television and also here at 1ZH here in Hamilton. He went by the name of Bob Leahy.
You're listening to Radio Hauraki, top of the dial, and we're broadcasting a test transmission on 1480. No doubt you know that we've been in the Great Barrier at Port Tryphena. We've done some modifications to the transmitter, and we've also erected our full antenna, so we're expecting to be putting out quite a good signal tonight. So we'd like to know how well you are receiving us, so drop us a line, Radio Hauraki, Post Office Box 2964 in Auckland. 2964, and let us know just how you're picking up Radio Hauraki.
As we pay tribute to David Gapes, who of course died, and we pay tribute to him, and of course there was Ian McGann, there was Barry Knight, Paddy O'Donnell, radio names you remember, Tom Bradley, Newsman, there was many more who made their names on Radio Hauraki. From Scotland we go to Wales, land of my fathers, Bryn Terfel.
Oh,
of our fathers, sad as Bryn Terfel. Just going back to Radio Hauraki, even one of our own broadcasters in the previous life of the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band recorded advertising jingles for Hauraki. This is the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band.
Gather around, folks, and lend an ear, 'cause we're going to tell you why we gathered here. Sit right down and pull up a chair, and we'll sing you a Canterbury tale. Hooray for Fanny, hip hop, Fanny, hip hop, Fanny hoes. Hip hop, Fanny hoes are the thing for mothers and daughters who really swing. There's no suspender like no suspender, hip hop, Fanny hoes. If you're 11 or 30, you're gonna look so mighty pretty with your long-legged look and your itty-bitty skirt and your hip-hop pantyhose.
Hey, son, is it true that the gal's legs are getting longer and more shapely? Or do they just look that way in their hip-high pantyhose?
I couldn't say, Paul. I don't waste time looking at the girls who haven't caught on to the hip-high look. Because the girls who had, they look so cold to her.
Long-legged and shapely.
You be looking too, Paul?
Hooray for Bandy, hip-hop Bandy, hip-hop Bandy-ho. Hip-hop Bandy-ho's really hip, no suspender to ever nip, and there's no suspender like no suspender, hip-hop Bandy-ho.
Music you like, the music you choose.
Yeah, remembering Radio Hauraki with the death of David Gapes, remembering him today in Pioneer Between Radio. Okay, we'll take a break from the music, good as is now time to talk ships, crime, and anything else between. Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Yeah, good afternoon, Tim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, yeah, pretty good.
You're away for the weekend. You got back in town and time here to get here. So let's talk ports and other things, and we'll see what's happening with crime.
Yeah, after this episode thing on TV with the Kuwait and everything with the export and stuff that is going over to overseas, yeah, there's so many boats are sitting out there waiting to get loaded. Every port's having a few problems with it at the moment. Then they're talking about the export meats and the dairy products. Well, if the meat's still sitting in the refrigerator unit, they've got a cool freezer thing that keeps the meat cold, and also the milk powder. So this has happened at every port through the North Island and South Island. And, yeah, so that's what's been happening at the moment. They are trying to clear the boats from the ports to get over there, but the bombing and everything in Iran, Kuwait and everything. 90% of our stuff do go over to Kuwait and Iran, Bruce. So with that, we're just going to wait to see what's going to be happening in the ports and what's going to be happening with the loading with the boats in that next couple of weeks. So with the crime rate, I was away, but yeah, it sounds like there was quite a few. I haven't heard about a few things, but yeah, last week there was quite a bit going on, and there's quite a bit happening down towards Otorohanga Way.
Well, thank you for your report, and we'll do it again next week. I see Mr. Driscoll is about to come in the door, and we'll hear from him very, very shortly. Politics coming up too. Thank you, Dwayne. Well, David Gapes, he died on 8 March 2024.
Hey, don't go away.
FM 89.0, independent community media. That is the Ron Goodwin Orchestra. We've got to talk movies because, of course, as we know, Ron Goodwin wrote so many famous movie soundtracks, the Miss Marple series and many, many more. And that was produced by George Martin. Beatles and so many, many more. We'll have some more George Martin. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, and we welcome the president of the Hamilton Film Society, Andrea Haynes.
Thank you.
How are you, Andrea?
Seen many films lately.
I do. I have seen quite a few films. We had our opening night screening last Monday, which was very well attended and quite exciting to have such a lovely response to the opening night. We showed a Russian film called The Cranes Are Flying, an anti-war film. So at the moment, very, very topical for what the society can do to spread the word, I suppose.
It must be interesting, Andrea, to sit with whoever decides you would be one, what films are going to be brought.
Oh, yes.
There are limitless numbers of...
Oh, right. Well, we do have a catalogue to choose from that comes from our central agency in Wellington. So that helps a little bit because, as you say, it would be an incredible job to sort of scour the world. And, of course, doing it collectively means that we can get hold of films that would be too expensive for an individual film society to sort and do for themselves. Mind you, we have put some extra screenings in this year that we've sourced for what we feel would be very attractive to Hamilton audiences. And one of these films is actually our cover image, which is a film called Everything is Illuminated. And I think it's such a joyous-looking image. It's a young man standing in a field of sunflowers, and I think it's just really struck a chord with a lot of people. So maybe sometimes it's the presentation of what you're offering.
It's got to be a sunny day before I stand in a field of sunflowers.
It looks very, very attractive, and I think it has made a big difference to people just picking up, because when you've got brochures that are in supermarkets or cafes and things like that, if you've got something that stands out, it does seem to make such a difference.
You do try to cover the field. A season,
yes,
of classic and contemporary cinema from around the world, near and far.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah. Billy Wilder.
Yes.
Lee Apartment, Shirley MacLaine. I've seen this movie. Typical Billy Wilder, keeps you glued to your seat to the very end, doesn't it?
Yeah. We've included some real classic films that we know will be appealing, and that's The Apartment. We've got Hitchcock's Rear Window, which, yeah, I think will also be, yeah,
Jimmy
very...
Stewart and Grace Kelly and Raymond Burr's,
yes,
in it.
Yes, I mean, that's one of the favourite Hitchcocks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the other film that has done very well to start with for some societies is Run, Lola, Run, which is a German film that showed in the film festival quite a long time ago, and it's got a really energetic feel to it, and it's and a very popular film. It's always quite a task, and you know, as a film society committee, to choose the first film. And the first film we did choose was not actually The Cranes Are Flying, but because there are so many film societies who wanted to show The Apartment or Run, Lola, Run, that we were given The Cranes Are Flying. And in respect, it was great choice. So there you go. You just never know. Black and white, absolutely stunning cinematography.
You're trying to meet everyone's wishes.
Yeah.
What are your own?
What are my own? I'm eclectic in my choice of films. I love documentaries. I like New Zealand films. I like all sorts. So I'm probably reasonably easy to please with genre. So probably not going too much for really horrible horror or big blockbuster stuff. That I like the more humanist kind of films.
How about history?
history as well. We've got quite a few interesting films of historical interest in there. So French, we have the French film The Black Tulip. So we've also got another one called The Age of Panic. So they're always popular choices as well to include French films in the program.
And you've even got Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry, yes.
And also you're showing David Byrne of Talking Heads, the Scottish musician.
That's actually our screening tomorrow, tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
So this year we've brought in a short introduction to each of the films. So I've got people who are particularly passionate about a film that they know and would like to give us about 5 minutes beforehand to talk about it.
Out of the Film Society and the Film Festival, there's a movie about two nuns and a young person roaming around New Zealand.
Holy days.
It stars the most. I love her. She swears like a trooper. She gets on Graham Norton and swears like a trooper, using a certain F word. I won't play any of her, but she is a brilliant actress in her 80s now. But when you see her on screen, she's such a lovely actress. It's
I went to see that. It was fun.
Do you fear the demise of the big cinema experience?
No, I don't. Not at the moment. In Wellington, they have two screenings for their members, and in the 850-seat cinema, the Embassy, and this time on their first night, they sold out both screenings. So I think there's a total resurgence back to coming back to films, and I've noticed even at the Lido there's been a real interest, particularly for things like Q&A, because the other night I attended the Q&A for the singer. So that was called Tenor, My Name is Patti.
Yeah.
And that was there were two full cinemas for the Q&As, which Madeleine Pierard did the kind of introduced everybody and did things. But it was delightful. Yeah. And the engagement of the audience with what was happening in the film was quite remarkable, because when Penny sang one of those wonderful, wonderful arias, the whole audience within the film broke out into applause. So it was quite a magical kind of experience to have.
I'm noticing
this more and more as people attend. There's an engagement in there. So I'm feeling very hopeful.
I have to ask you this. You're in the know. When is the Lido going to ever play the Mrs. Donald Trump movie, which has been panned overseas? No one's turning up.
I do not know. I wouldn't like to predict
I thought it might have been part of the film festival. because I think
We will see. I don't know whether a New Zealand distributor has picked it up. That's the big thing.
Because remember,
distribution is about for the cinemas is a big thing. Yeah.
Because the last film festival you had a protest. Jacinda Ardern's
about Jacinda. Yes, we did. That's true.
And she's moved to Australia. So
indeed.
So it's a fairly political environment, if only the politics of movies.
It is. It can be, according to the particular films being shown. I mean, there's always been this. Amnesty has had films in screening. We have. It's a wonderful medium for certainly bringing out the issues and passions of people, and whatever you do, you're going to find that people might disagree with what's being shown and want to vent that out. So,
and by cooperating, the Film Societies of New Zealand have access to the films on a very advantageous rate.
Absolutely,
which limits. Or reduces the cost per film should anyone attend all of the screenings arranged through the society.
Yeah,
it's something minimal.
Well, yes, it is. If you buy a full membership of the Film Society, you're basically just under about, I think it's $5 if you get a full subscription at the highest rate. It's $5.90 a film. I mean, that is just incredible. And you're going to watch a film with an audience who love film, who and you learn about all the different aspects of making up a film and just it's a real community, and that's what we've been trying to build for a long time.
Talking about politics, of course, those Russian movies were made under, of course, trying times, as they say, in the USSR. So,
oh, interesting. Yeah, the first film, The Cranes Are Flying, came at an interesting time because it was just after Stalin had been denounced and Khrushchev had come in. So there was kind of this little gap in which the Russian, the film was made about some of the human factors about war, and so it was not just about the glories, it was about what happened to families and things, and that was the actual appeal of the film, definitely.
Yeah, and of course American movie companies like Paramount, they're getting under Trump's kind of taking them over, where he's putting all his mates in control of all these mergers, Paramount. I don't know what kind of movies we're going to see in the future, but on I think Prime at the moment, there's a new version of the Sherlock Holmes story going around as young Sherlock Holmes. So the thing with Sherlock Holmes, why is he still so popular?
All right, yes, I think the people return because there's still an audience there for it. But there are plenty of films that are being made outside Paramount and those things. There's a huge conglomeration of different countries that make films. When you look at the source of many of these films that we're showing this year, you'll find that it's not just one country that's involved in making the films. You've got the Black Tulip has got France, Italian and Spain as part of the production and the way the films are made. So, and you've got the British films that are coming through. So they're quite different. So we'll see what happens. But yeah. I'm still very hopeful that there's a huge underground industry, and there's a huge and interesting group that's coming through in New Zealand with New Zealand films. Yeah. And we've got three New Zealand films in our program this year. There's two about artists. We've got Hotari, which is the Merita Mita film that was made in 2001, and Toitū, Visual Sovereignty, which was in the last film festival, and that was made in 2025. So we've got this lovely gap between them, and the last film is called The Last Dogs of Winter, and we've put this in because Costa Botes died last year, and he's always been quite special to the Hamilton Film Society. And he was the one who made the film with Peter Jackson that caused so much.
Oh, was that the fake one, was it?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, yes.
Takes me back.
So that's why we've included, it's our remembrance of Costa.
Yeah, and talking about people coming back to New Zealand, Ian McKellen's coming back to New Zealand. We've got another chapter of either The Hobbit or...
Yes,
keeps going on. So Ian McKellen is coming back to New Zealand. So great stuff. Hey, thank you for coming in. And I think we better play this. Here we go. Here we go. The Ron Goodwin Orchestra, because Andrea's got more to say.
It's okay.
That's okay. Hey, sorry about that. I was quick on the finger, trigger finger. Free FM 89.0, a bit of more of George Martin produced stuff there. That is actually called, I'm just looking down here, Crazy Rhythm at Free FM 89.0. Right now, we are remembering the man behind Radio Hierarchy. His name is David Gapes. And here's a bit more from Radio Hierarchy.
Hierarchy News, the Hierarchy crew are abandoning ship. This is Paul Lynham on board the Turi. Good night. There we've gone, we've hit once. We're going back onto the rocks now. We're hitting continuously now. I don't know how long I can stay with you. There we've gone again. That was rather bad, actually. We've gone aground on longer. There. Abandon ship. Abandon ship. I'm turning the microphone up loud. Abandon ship. Abandon ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship. The siren has gone. We are abandoning ship. The rocks are within swimming distance. I've got to go now. I've turned the microphone up loud. I hope the transmitter holds out.
That is January 28, 1968, when the Radio Hierarchy crew had to abandon ship. We're remembering their co-founder, David Gapes.
It's oil.
All the world wants. Much of it reaching the west by the supertankers passing along the coast of the Strait of Hormuz, lapping the shores of Iran and Oman. With warships, planes, and submarines ready to rush into the tense region, if they're not already there, that is. It may disrupt world trade when they do. The 40-kilometer-wide strait will be crucial to controlling future pricing of Middle East more oil. It's a risk already reflected in soaring costs to importers in the West. Even now, it's no longer safe for shipping to exercise the right to passage through the Strait of Hormuz, regardless of the international conventions guaranteeing access. There's a question of the rules of engagement that arise when countries fall out with each other and it gradually deteriorates into war. Our contributor Gary Schofield is standing by, trying to make sense of it all. So much is happening, Gary. How do you keep up with it all?
So much is happening, and interestingly, you mention that it is the tankers that are heading to the west. In fact, the crucial aspect to this particular situation is that the tankers are going to the east, and that is causing trouble for China. The United States has weaned itself off the Gulf War, off the Gulf oil over the last decade. And now we have a situation where it can affect the United States, can affect New Zealand, can affect every country in the world because there is a global trade in the price of oil. And I remember mentioning that it was about $60 a barrel. I foresaw that it could double to 120. People are talking now about it's reaching 100, going on to 150. That will have an enormous effect on everybody's oil price, all the imports. Not only that, but you're getting to a situation where it could be affecting the supply lines to the Persian Gulf as well. And Trump has said that he is going to escort tankers through, or at least preparing to do that. That is a perilous strategy. As we mentioned in previous times, we have the possibility of mines, if they're not already mined, the Strait of Hormuz, and there's also submarines. I know that the Navy has been very much damaged, destroyed. You're coming into the point of rules of engagement. When you have a situation where you sink the ships of another country, especially in the maritime, especially in international waters, it's fairly incumbent upon the nation that has done that to assist in helping the survivors. So not only is that an issue of how the United States would be looked at by other countries, it's, as you've pointed out, it sets rules of engagement. If there are going to be no rules of engagement, or if they're going to be ruthless and brutal, then we could also expect the same from Iran. Not that that wasn't going to happen anyway, but I'm just saying that you're bringing up the topic of rules of engagement, and it is a brutal a brutal war. And now that the actual definition of victory has changed by adding unconditional surrender as well as a change of government, if we're not careful, we'll get into a situation where the fury, which is what this is called, of the United States is seen day after day in extreme bombing, as we got in Tehran, as we had in, well, in Gaza. There's a like little parallel. And what could end up in rubble? What could end up in civil war if we are going to back the Kurds, if we're going to back Azerbaijan to invade Iran from the north, northeast? That would be one aspect of factioning of the country. And we could also have the Baloch people in the southwest could also put pressure on the government. Also, there could be boots on the ground from the United States, either to commando raids, to attack, or to retrieve nuclear fission. Who knows? This is a very Pandora's box-like situation, and we don't have a clear view of how this is going to impact politics in the United States, and more especially, the people of Iran.
Yeah.
Seeing that we're supposed to be doing that for them.
Good afternoon, Gary Schofield.
Good afternoon, Bruce.
It's been an interesting week. Our former...
Yes, it certainly has. This has been a spectacularly interesting week in the Chinese curse of an interesting week.
Yeah.
Yes.
Former Prime Minister Helen Clark says this is, under international law, this is illegal. This so-called war is illegal. So your thoughts on that point by the former New Zealand Prime Minister?
My thoughts are that I agree it is illegal.
Yep.
You know, in my own estimation, my own opinion, my own view, my own understanding of international law, it is clearly illegal.
Yep.
It's quite surprising because many of the countries that are being silent or acquiescent or following the US lead, and not all of them are, of course, but are just accepting that it was an imminent threat from Iran, because even that is an excuse for a casus belli.
Yeah.
But under international law and the strict reading of it, I would say that it is a legal operation. However, that precedent has been broken and was set, you know, when we look at other wars in the Middle East. And by the way, my opinion on this entire conflict is a geopolitical opinion, and that is the United States thinks that it's omnipotent, and it nearly is. However, it's finite, and it's taken its resources, and now there's a new aircraft carrier group that's going in, and it's taken it from other places in the world in a balance of military power. You have to be careful that the real power, the real decision, the real future of the world is in Asia, the Asian Pacific, actually where we are here on this side of the world. And so you have to be careful about engaging more and more in the Middle East and being drawn into an escalating conflict there. So, yeah, the short answer to your question, I do not see this as being within the law of international, the way that things work. However, the way that things work means we don't have any international law, really, for quite a long time. And it has been might is right, sadly.
Yep, a $200 million ad campaign hosted by Kirsty Noem, and a $70 million plane has brought her down.
Or up, depending on your perspective, because she's just been given the job of looking after as envoy the new Americas that the United States is creating. So, yes, she did lose her job, but she got another one.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I take your point, and I knew you'd be looking. I was thinking of you when I was reading the detailed news of what was going on with her.
I saw her in the House this week, and one of the committee members brought up a big poster of this big bed in the $70 million plane. Doesn't belong to her. There's rumours she's having an affair with a Trump advisor, and he's been given the boot too. So, hey, let's get on to Bill Clinton, and that was another.
Hey, before we get on to Bill, I also wonder if it isn't a little bit too much like the TV show. You know, when you're fired is the TV show, and if you're not performing. It's a little different in real-life politics in Washington, because when you do fire somebody or remove them from a position or they become an embarrassment to you, it actually weakens your entire political structure.
Yep.
And this can happen if Trump is not careful, because the MAGA people, they don't like wars. You know, they don't like weakening U.S. power. Or, yes, it could work out well, but the longer that it goes on, he could lose his MAGA base.
Yep.
He could lose people who are Republicans who are pro-war if it is going to increase the cost of oil. And by the way, how much do we really care about oil? Obviously a heck of a lot. We're supposed to be in a new era where we're trying to save our poor planet, but that's gone out the window as we blow up each other's oil wells. You know, this is the new era of contradiction, is it not? But anyway, carry on with Bill Clinton.
We'll start with Hillary first, because Lauren Boebert was on this closed-door committee this week. And guess what? As Hillary was speaking, Boebert talked about the blue suit, but then she made a big, big mistake, taking a photograph, sending it to another person, and then she did it again. And you should have seen Hillary go off at Lauren Boebert and the Republican Party, Jim Comer. If there was a court of law in New Zealand, that Boebert would be in a police cell, breaking rules. So, yeah, she couldn't care less, Boebert. I'm worried about Bill Clinton. His hands are shaking. Do you think he is ill? Because I washed his hands while I was giving, and they both gave great evidence, actually. And are you worried about his health? He's getting on in age, of course, Bill, former president.
Yes, I think that could be. Many people I know that are elderly have tremors. They can still survive for many decades. My friend Connie, as you know, actually had Parkinson's. That was one of her symptoms. I can't comment about Bill Clinton, but, you know, like all people in power, you see them young, you see them presidential, and you see them elderly, and so you can't help notice the frailty that they have now that they didn't then, especially when they were running the entire world, pretty much. I do think that he probably has some health, but I'm not going to comment medically on that.
Yeah.
But in terms of his testimony, he was really reciting the same it's responsive, but it's not really, you know, it's hard to put it this way. It's hard to believe that if you are riding 27 times or flying 27 times on the plane, or you're involved in all the things, that, you know, it's hard not to notice something if you're in the in circle.
And he
couldn't remember, and he didn't notice.
Another point too, that Boebert couldn't hide her glee when she took these photos, gave it to a MAGA member, and then he posted it. There's all these podcasts that are turning up left, right, and centre too. What else did I see this week? Oh, that's about it for today, I think.
Fuel.
Well, there is plenty. There's plenty that's going on. And interestingly, you know, when we were just going on the air last week, and I missed last week, unfortunately, but that was when everything had happened. And here is an interesting thought that I don't think the news media has really engaged. That is that Marco Rubio, and the question is, why did Trump do it? You know, what was the spark that engaged this conflict? And yes, to start with, of course, it looks like a spectacular so-called success with the loss of the leadership of Iran. However, what really caused it to go from a negotiation where they had, you know, literally owned up to how much fissionable material that they had, and suddenly it goes to combat? Well, Marco Rubio said that it was because Israel had declared that they were about to attack, so the U.S. had to support Israel in that.
Yes.
And then he said he didn't. That isn't what happened, after Trump came out and said, no, that didn't happen. So what did happen? Well, now we have the story that it was Iran was imminently about to attack the United States, which is slightly more, even harder to believe under those conditions. So really, we do need some good journalists to find the answers to these very important questions, yeah, because they're going to shape perhaps the next 20 years on this earth.
Well, after what I said last night, watching the CBS newsreader falling apart at the seams trying to read the news, he's hopeless, but he's, of course he's backed by MAGA. I said to somebody this morning that old Benjamin Netanyahu is leading the case of attacking Iran, and old Donny's following behind.
I do believe that to be the case. And if Marco Rubio is telling the truth, well, he can't be telling the truth twice because he contradicts himself, but it would seem that that might have precipitated this conflict. So bringing the fleet there, yes, that's threatening in the middle of negotiation, which also, incidentally, is against international law, but that's seen you ask the question. even going and threatening with military action is against international law. However, that doesn't mean that Trump was dead keen on beginning it. And if he was drawn into it with that spark, that would be an interesting investigation.
Hey, we've got to leave it there for today. Thank you, Will.
Certainly.
How's Stuart?
Stuart is doing very, very well. And he's. I think he'll send you a copy of his degree.
I've seen his photo, indoor rock climbing. His jersey, it had big balls all over it. So it was interesting. Hey, we'll catch up with next week because I want to fit in this Creedence Clearwater Revival song, There's a Bad Moon on the Rise. So we'll play
that. That's a very good song. I look forward to that. And also next week, I want to talk about the Anthropic Principle, if you've got a minute.
Yes,
that's very important. And also in AI and also with the Pentagon.
Anyway, John Fogerty recently appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show. And during that, he sung a medley. And one of the songs was this song. Here we go. Play Eve of Destruction, but that's next week because normally during wartime a lot of these songs are banned because it talks of bombs and other bits and pieces. He's back for more, Dwayne.
Most exports that go overseas have to be able to withstand being held up sometimes at the ports. How do they do this, Dwayne?
Well, Mel, it's a thing is that what's been happening with the Iran war and everything is that it's holding up the ports of what freight's going to go out. Like, for example, they've got dairy products and milk powder, and so that's what's going to be happening very soon. They've got so much meat and all that sitting in the containers, sitting on the wall, and it's refrigerated, and it's got enough refrigeration inside to keep the whole thing cold.
That's obviously going to be very expensive.
Yes, it is. It's going to be very expensive. Every port between the North Island and South Island having problems with it at the moment for the boats sitting out there waiting to come in.
So there we are. We increased as a nation our thrust to export to the Gulf States and other places, and now we find that they have troubles of their own getting the trade that we used to bring.
Yep.
Right, well, what else is around shipping-wise? You've got some waiting out at sea?
Yeah, we've got a few waiting out at sea, waiting to come in.
They're coming in from what kind of export places?
They're coming in from, you name it, they're coming in from Melbourne, also a petrol boat, which is coming in from over towards Iran Way, which is coming in with a load. Project cargo, and also more containers, and and more dairy products going to get loaded and unloaded from ports of Tauranga, Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch.
And that's happening as of today. Bunun Leader from Port Chalmers is going to sea. It's carrying logs from New Zealand.
Yes, well, she's out at the moment. She's out towards. Heading towards Japan.
And this one, ANL Otago, it's berthing today, but going straight away up to Hong Kong.
Yep.
That's a quick turnaround. What's it contain?
She's cutting the leftover freight and containers from what's sitting on the wharf at the moment.
I see that there are some that deal with Marsden Point.
Yep.
Where so much of the refining used to be done, longer so.
Yep.
And what sort of vessel is that?
There's a petrol boat and a log boat. So what is that they are bringing in and out all the freight, and even the petrol is going up to Marsden Point. So it's going from Marsden Point, unload Marsden Point, and then relay from Marsden Point and down towards Napier Way.
We'll have more from you next week, because I think we're going to be featuring a birthday boy before we head out of here this afternoon, and I have to play this. This was a birthday request. Welcoming. We love these moments here at Free FM when one of our presenters and good friends celebrates their birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Trevor Lloyd, all the way from Whangarei, where you spent a good deal of your life.
That's correct. And I moved here on promotion.
And in
1978.
And in the postal service, you served us well, delivering how many letters? Millions?
Oh, it would be many figures, a lot of zeros. Back in those days, technology was somewhat limited compared with today.
That's certainly here now.
And communication was by pen and paper.
And as recently as last week, we saw an apparition. It was an old-style postman, minus the whistle, but riding a machine such as you did in many of your years.
Ah, right.
I thought it was all modernised and run by electric motors these days.
Was he on a push bike?
Yes.
Wow, maybe he was a ghost. It's hard to believe that.
Maybe he doesn't trust the golf cart.
I think some of them are actually on bikes, come to think of it. But they've probably got gears on them. Back in my day, there's no gears. And they're very heavily built bikes.
Yep.
And you'd be very fit to do the job.
And what did you have in mind for Trevor's talk today?
I'm talking about the future of human employment. Now we're in the modern age of technology, going ahead in leaps and bounds, and AI, which is artificial intelligence, is booming to quite an extent. And I was watching a news item relating to this subject, and an expert said the time will come when all work and jobs will be done by AI, computerised technique.
Are they going to replace me and Mel?
Quite well. And I thought, hang on.
We'll all be redundant.
Yes. What are we going to do? There's not enough doorways for everyone to sleep in because they've got no income and no job. I mean, this is what's the sole purpose of human existence, is employment.
Hey, before we go, Mel and I are in an artwork this week. They're rebranding Free FM, and the notes for Free FM, we're caught up in a painting, Mel and myself.
Oh, really?
And if I can find it, I'll show it to you. No, we're in the books here. We're in art this week.
Who's the artist, do you know?
I don't know, but I just caught up with it last week. So
interesting to see it.
At the time, Mel's got a shirt and tie on, and I've got a T-shirt on with my white hat, etc.
Wow.
So I'll have to show you one day. Hey, thank you. We hope to see you again next week, birthday boy. We'll leave you with this. And that's us for the Sunday afternoon.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.